This morning we'll get right into the Word of God. If you would, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, very familiar passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10 through 18. This morning I want to preach a few minutes on victory comes to those who stand. Victory comes to those who stand. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You, God, prepare us, Lord, for the battle, Lord, that we're in. That God, that You've already won the victory. That Almighty God, that You want to empower us with Your Holy Spirit and with Your power. God, that we're not a casualty, but Lord, that we are victorious, Lord, in this battle that we're in. We know that You have all strength. We have nothing in ourselves. And Lord, today that You would speak and that God, Your word would go forth and You would accomplish exactly what You want to accomplish. And that God, that we would be strengthened and encouraged. And Lord, that we would stand up, Lord, for Your righteousness and for Your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here is concluding this book of Ephesians. He's dealt with the home. He's dealt relationships with husband and wives and children and parents and employers and employees. He's given them instruction, and he finishes this chapter with some verses that I think is probably some of the most important verses in the entire Scripture. I remember many years ago, this seems like several times throughout my years at London Christian Academy, we would memorize this passage of Scripture. So it's something very familiar with, but there's truth. Sometimes we can get so used to hearing the Word of God that we don't really apply it to our heart. We're not really asking ourselves what is being said here. And if we miss what's being said here, we're gonna miss out on some victories in our life. Paul is giving instruction, and he's telling the church, he's speaking to us even today and telling us that you're in a battle. We don't have to really tell you that. If you've been a Christian very long, you've probably realized you're in a battle. And if you haven't been through any struggles yet, it's coming. And anybody that gives their heart to the Lord, the very moment that you give your heart to the Lord and you become a soldier of the cross, you've got a mark on you that the enemy's going to be coming. Because, you know, a lot of times we believe and we think that the devil's really out on Saturday night, and he's in the bars and he's in the clubs and he's at the parties and he's doing all these things. But I'm here to tell you that more likely than that, that's his crowd. He's already got those people. He's probably resting up so he can come in on Sunday morning, early on the Sunday morning service, and try to hinder children of God who are the enemies of Satan and try to discourage them from receiving anything. You ever find yourself sitting in the house of God and it seems like your mind's battling with you? You're not focusing on really what's going on. And you can sense God's presence is moving and you see God doing things in the service, and yet in your life you find that your mind is racing away thinking of everything but what's going on. You sense that on Sunday morning when you're trying to get ready, it seems like that's when all the problems start happening, and the devil tries to get you upset and get you maybe to say something to your wife you shouldn't say, or maybe to get you upset at one of the kids and yell at them, so that when you get to church, that guilt sets in. The enemy has already started to work because he's got a plan. He wants to make you weak. He wants to steal from you. He doesn't want you to get anything out of the presence of God. He wants, that's his greatest victory, is if he can come in on church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and he can take the people of God and get them to go out that back door just like they came in, He's won a victory. We're in a battle. We need to realize that you're in a battle. You may say, well, I can't see anything. Well, we can't see it because the battle we're in is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. If you ever tried to fight in the physical, if you ever tried to, something happens to you and you don't realize it, it looks like it's physical, and we react in the flesh and we make mistakes. Anytime you act in the flesh, something happens to you, that flesh wants to rise up and say, that ain't right. I need to defend myself. And you react in the flesh only to find out you've already started losing the battle. Why? Because we're trying to fight a spiritual victory in the flesh. You can't do it. We need to realize the enemy that we're standing against. This last year, before they got Osama bin Laden, they knew where he was for the last year or more. And they didn't just go marching right in as soon as they found out, but they studied. They sat there and monitored and watched what was going on to learn exactly what their enemy was up to, how many people was there, his habits, when he was coming and going, to know the exact tactics of how to go in and take that battle. Well, the enemy is doing the same thing in your life. He doesn't have the power of God. He's not all knowing, and he can't do everything. He can't be everywhere like God, but he studies you. The enemies of our soul, the demonic forces that are in the legions of Satan, they are trying to find weaknesses in your life that they could come against you. Well, how do we know this? All we have to do is look at the book of Job. And Satan was standing before the presence of God, and God himself says, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil, I'm paraphrasing, says to him, what do you mean if I considered him? I've been all around him. I've been every angle, everything you've ever given him. I've checked his body. I've checked his habits. I've checked the things that all the blessings that you've given him. And I can't find no way to get to him because you have put a hedge about him. What was that hedge that was around him? It was this armor, this full armor that Paul is telling us to put on us. It's like a hedge about us. If we'll put Christ on us, he wants to totally encompass us with his presence so that the enemy, when he tries to come against you, he'll come against you with discouragement. He'll try to discourage you from coming to church. Oh, nobody cares. God's not even paying attention to you. It's just going to be the same old service. And he tries that a tactic. And if it doesn't work, then he'll come against you with bitterness, trying to get you upset at someone else. He'll come against you with temptation. He tries everything he can against you. We need to realize the enemy of our soul is trying to get an inroad into our life. If we look at the Civil War, and I'm going to try to get in this real quick. My wife's already warned me. I better not let this be too long today. And I bet I'll try my best. But I was thinking as I was studying this last several days about the Civil War. You watch all these movies. I like watching old Civil War movies and kind of see how the battles happened and going and seeing these battlefields. But you know, the enemy, these generals of these armies, what they would usually set up on a hill somewhere up high so that they could get a bird's eye view of the entire battlefront. And they could see that their armies, and they could see as they advanced where the strong points and the weak points of the enemy were. And if they seen a spot that looked like it was a little bit thin, they would send more reinforcements to that area to try to break through. And if they seen on their lines that they were getting a little thin, they would send reinforcements to fill in the gap, to try to keep them from flanking. And why is it so important to keep them from breaking through? Because if the enemy can break through the front line, can get through the line, that he'll come in behind you when you're unprotected and try to take and shoot at you where you're unprotected. That's the way battles are won. Well, the enemy is doing the same thing. He's hitting you. He'll come against you from every side because you're a child of God. And Paul is saying you need to know the battle's going on. You need to expect the battle, and you've got to be prepared for the battle because it's coming. And he tells us four times, we need to realize the main thing he's telling us in these verses, four times he says, whatever you do, stand. Stand, stand. I'm telling you, we're living in a generation. The reason the enemy has got the power that he's got, the reason the enemy has so many casualties of war, and how churches are closing and the altars are not filled up and things aren't going the way that we would like to see them go, is because people are not standing. They're not standing. We let the enemy run us over. We let him have control. But Paul tells us in verse 10 here, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He doesn't, be strong in your might, build yourself up. He says, don't dare lean on your strength, but be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. For we serve a mighty God. Isaiah 40:28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Right here he said, don't trust your strength, young man. Don't trust in your strength because you think you're invincible. I remember at 18, I felt like I was invincible. You're not afraid of death and you'll do stupid things. And I look back now and I see what a fool I was. At 18, you do some things and you just feel like you got strength. You can go all day and all night and play basketball 24 hours a day and nothing seems to get you down. And then when you start heading into the 30s and the 40s, you start seeing that don't happen anymore. But Paul's saying, don't lean on your own strength, because that strength that you're leaning on will fail you. But we serve a God who has strength and power, who never fails. And when your strength becomes weakness, that's the very point when God's strength can become great and mighty. It says perfect strength. Paul had a ailment in his body. Paul had a thorn in the flesh three times. He prayed that God would remove this thorn. He wanted this problem out of his way, but God said, no, I'm not going to do it, Paul, because when you are made weak, that's when my perfect strength takes over. That's when it has to be me. And in our lives, we try to do everything in the flesh, and that's why we fail so often. That's why we come in, when we get into the place where we say, God, I look at myself and I see that there's nothing in me but failure, and God, every moment of every day, everything I say, everything I do, I'm going to lean on you, because only you have the strength that I can lean on. That's when we will start to stand. That's when we'll experience the victory in our lives. We need to learn that we need to trust God and put our strength in Him. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor. He doesn't say pick and choose what you want, take part of the armor. He says put on the whole armor, church. Put on the whole armor. What is that? That word in the Greek of whole armor is panopleia. And it means, that's what it means, is whole armor. It means every single piece that is provided. It means it includes a shield and a sword and a lance and a helmet and the greaves and the breastplate. God has given us the power to defend ourselves from the power of the enemy. He never intended for you to lose one battle. And as long as we stand on His word, as long as we stand on and put on the whole armor, we're going to be victorious. But we have to put on the whole armor of God. And it says that so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles is methodeia. It means in the devil's cunning arts, his deceit, his craft, his trickery. He's going to come against you. He's going to try to destroy you. He's going to come at you with every tactic that he can think of. But the only way we're going to be able to is by putting on the whole armor of God. And then he says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This evil day is when the enemy comes against you like a flood. When you least expect it, you get up. Have you ever had those days you get up and it seemed like everything was going fine? No problems. Didn't see anything coming. And before you know it, you're overwhelmed. The enemy, it's just like rocket fire, just like machine gun fire. The enemy's hitting you here and you try to put up some kind of defense, and then he hits you from the other side. It's like there's no way you're going to be able to take this. He says that when we are going, the only way we're going to be able to stand is by putting on the full armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day when the enemy's coming against you, and having done all to what? To stand. Everything within you, every day. Don't wait until you're in the battle to get the presence of God and to get the Spirit of God in your life and around you. We're going to see that every part of this armor is Jesus Christ. Every single piece that He's given you is represented by Jesus Christ. We need to know that when we fight against the enemy, that in the evil day, having done all to stand, it says in verse 14, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about, this is a belt. And if you look at the garments, the normal garments of that time was long flowing robes. But when they were in the military, by the way, when Paul was writing this, he's sitting in a prison and he's looking at Roman soldiers. He's got plenty of object lessons set there right in front of him. He's been very experienced seeing all these, this soldier and all their weaponry. And he's looking at these soldiers and realizing, seeing that God's got spiritual armor just like that. But we see that he's looking at this soldier, and this is a belt that actually does several things that you may think, well, that's not really important. How important is a belt? Well, it was so important that there was a famous a military battle that was going to happen. I couldn't find out which one it was, but there was a battle, and a general had his soldiers in the night cutting the belts of the enemy, cutting their belts. That's all he did, cut their belts. And the next morning, there was attack. And when they started to attack the enemy was spending all their time trying to keep their pants pulled up because their belts were cut. They couldn't get their guns to shoot their guns, and they were easily taken captive because their belt had been cut. What is this belt? This belt is truth. who is truth? Jesus Christ is the only thing that is truly truth. We live in a time when this world and generation that we live in wants us to think that a truth is relative to your beliefs, that your truth can be different than my truth, that there's nothing that we can firmly stand upon, that I may have a set of standards and truths and so may you, and they can all be different. But I'm here to tell you, there's only one truth. There's only one plumb line in this whole world that you can cast your cares and know that it's never going to fail, and you can judge everything else from. That is God. That is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. This belt was the belt that went around their waist, and it served several purposes. In fact, it was a very important part of their armament. This belt was part of the, it would actually, they could take their tunics and their garments would be able to pull them up so that their feet wouldn't get tangled in the battle and to keep these loose garments from causing them trouble. It also was what gave them strength and held everything together. Their breastplate was mounted, and actually a part of it had held down the breastplate. It held up their pants, and also it also had a, held the sheath wherein their sword was to be. This truth is the most important thing. It holds everything together. If you think that you can have error in your life and you can believe things that isn't true and you can put things in your heart and life that you know is not the true word of God and think you're going to prosper, you're going to find out that you're going to fail. The only thing we can do is walk in that truth, walk in the power of God and putting Him in it. We have got to stand up. The first thing we're going to do if we want to walk in victory is stand up. He tells us four times, stand up. Above all, stand up. With all your strength, stand up. Don't let the enemy bowl you over. Don't lay down and let the enemy have control, for our families are in stake. Our families, our church, our country, every day it seems like the enemy's coming in like a flood, and he wants to find the church asleep. He wants to find us laying down. He wants to find us weary. But Paul says, don't let the enemy have his way. Stand up. Don't, he didn't say march and go take ground. Stand up and resist the enemy. Don't let him have control in your life. That's the first place that we get victory in our lives, and we'll see victory in the churches when we have men and women who is going to stand up and resist the onslaught of the enemy, because he's coming. He's here. We're already in a battle. We're already fighting a battle. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness do we walk in? Is it ours? Oh no. Isaiah tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we have put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that when God looks down, He doesn't see our filthiness. He doesn't see our vileness, but He sees the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are covered as a coat with God's righteousness. Don't let the enemy come against you without putting on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Walk upright before Him. Make sure your heart's given to Him. Walk every day in the power of God and walk in His righteousness. Don't think you're anything, because I know I'm not. We need to walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our righteousness. Not only must we stand up, but we must stand fast. Stand, what do you mean by stand fast? In verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's talking about the shoes that he's got on. This Roman soldiers, their shoes had nails sticking out the bottom of their shoes so that they could plant their feet firmly on the ground when they're in battle. When you're in the military, one of the first things they teach you in hand-to-hand combat is if you're going to have victory, if you're going to be, you can even take on someone much bigger than you are, but the key to that is have your feet firmly planted and spread apart and in a position to expect the enemy's onslaught. If you're standing unexpected and your feet is not on the rock of ages, the rock of Jesus Christ, He is the rock. He is the chief cornerstone. And we as Christians today, where is our feet planted? On the solid rock, on Jesus Christ. And when the enemy comes against you, say, Satan, I'm not on soft sand. I'm not on sinking sand, but my feet is planted on Jesus Christ. He will never fail. He never has failed. He never will fail. We need to have ourselves steadfast on Jesus Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, the fiery arrows of the wicked. There was a famous army, Spartans, the Greek hoplites. They were famous for their shields. They had these massive door-like shields that they went into battle with. And it was much bigger than most of the other armies. In fact, if you look at some of the armies, they would have smaller, much smaller round shields, and when those shields is to protect from blows, from swords, and they would try to protect themselves from these arrows. And but what would happen usually is they would go into battle, and if their shield wasn't very big, they go into battle, and before they would ever get to them, the enemy would shoot barrages of arrows. Thousands of arrows would come flying to the air, just hitting everything in sight. And they just had a small shield to be able to protect them. But these these particular shields he's talking about is a much larger. It's like a 2.5 by 4.5 foot shield. He says that we need to get back and they need to hide ourselves behind that shield. Well, what's he talking about? These hoplites, the soldiers, these Spartans they were in one unit and they would hold this shield in their left hand and they was able to get completely behind the shield and they would protect themselves with the shield with the left hand protecting the left side of their body, and they would use a sword on the right side of their body, able to fight over and around the shield, and the person that right next to them would link up with them, and they were able to link their shields together. So as they marched into the battle, unlike the rest of the armies they were fighting, when the barrages of arrows were coming, they would link their shields together and they would hide behind the shields, and then the arrows would hit the shields and bounce off, and then they would proceed forward, every one of them. And when they got up to the other army, most of their ammunition, if not all their ammunition, has already been extinguished. They had nothing to defend themselves with, and then they could go forward in victory. And as they fought in battle, their arm that's protected on the right, the person on their left, their shield would protect the right of the person next to them. Oh, what victory we could have if the church today would put that into practice, that we would go forward. You know who the shield is? Who the shield of faith? It's in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the shield that when we don't know what's going on and we're going through the battle and things are coming, it says, give up. You don't have to live this way. The Lord's turned his back on you and you don't understand the attack, and questions come to your mind and you don't even know what to say. Get behind the shield of faith. Say, I'm putting my faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. When all the arrows are flying and I don't know what to do, I get behind Jesus Christ because I know I'll have the victory if I put my confidence in Him. It's Jesus Christ. That door He is the door to our salvation. It says that in John 10:9, I am the door. If any man enter him, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Not only is that door our salvation, but he is our protection. It says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them from out of my hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can put our confidence in Him. We can know that as we stand on His Word, that there is not one thing the enemy can do to pull you out of the hands of Jesus Christ, but we put our confidence in Him and we say, you are the shield that I stand behind. We can know that the enemy is already defeated. He already defeated him on the cross, and all we're doing is standing behind His victory, walking in His faith and His victory. Not only do we need to stand up, not only do we need to stand fast, but we need to stand on the Word. Stand on the Word. We have two offensive weapons that we stand upon. A lot of times we say there's only one, but it says that we need to, above all, taking the shield of faith, in verse 5 to 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. Who is the Word of God? It was Jesus Christ in the flesh. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And who was the Word? The Word was God. Oh, that Word is such a powerful thing. You know what? You know why the devil doesn't want it in our schools? You know why he doesn't want the Gideons to put it in these? We've already heard testimonies of the Word of God in the motels. There's thousands of testimony of people that have been at the end of their life and they've been at that last moment and about to commit suicide. And there's something powerful about this Word of God. Taking the Word of God, placing it in our mind. Why does the Christian schools have them memorize verses every month? Is it just to give them something to do? No, because we know that if we have the Word of God in our mind, when the enemy comes against us, we can say, no, devil, I'm standing behind the Word of God. I'm standing upon it because it says you're a defeated foe. It says that you've already lost, and I can put my faith and confidence in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who is my strength, who is my shield, who is my help. He's never failed me, and His Word says you are defeated. When Jesus was tempted, what happened? What did he do? He used the Word of God. He is the Word of God. All the enemy would come against Jesus Christ, surely he'll come against us. We need to know that we have got to stand on His Word. We need to put this Word in our heart, in our mind. It needs to be what we stand upon. Our faith and confidence needs to come through the Word of God, because what it says, Scripture, not one jot, Not one tittle will pass away till everything is fulfilled. And we're at the very end. It's being fulfilled in our very eyes. We can see the Word of God. Everything has come to pass that He said would come to pass. And we can put our confidence. We're almost at the end of the battle line. We've almost won if we'll just stand. If we'll just keep standing, we need to stand on His Word. And then finally, we need to stand together. We need to stand together just like these hoplites. Soldiers, they would stand unified together when the enemies would come in and shoot their arrows. They would stand together when the battle was going. They held their shield and protected the person to their left. They were in one unit, in one accord. We need to stand together. You know what the enemy loves to do? This is what happens. I was just thinking about when I was a kid watching The Wild Kingdom and some of these animal shows, and didn't get to watch it much because it was Sunday night. I had about to be sick and be at my grandma's house or something. So I get to watch The Wild Kingdom. That was a big deal. And that tells you how far back I was. But you would have these lion tribes that would be watched then. I'm sure there's stuff like this now, but they would have these lion that they would track with cameras, and you would see the lions watching down in the valley, and these lions were in tall grass, or they'd be in the brush, and they didn't know that they were being watched by these pack of lions or cheetahs or whatever predator they would have. But then they would be gazelles or something down in the valley, and they'd all be watching. They'd all be looking, and they'd all be a huge herd. And you knew it was going to be trouble pretty quick. And those lions would sneak as close as they could get to the animals without coming out of the clearing. And then all of a sudden they would bolt out of the weeds, and they would be charging toward this great number of gazelle. And the gazelle would run, and they were fast, and they were able to, most of them, to get away. But you know what? If you watch what the lions were doing, they weren't looking for those that were fast. They weren't looking for those that were the biggest and the strongest. They weren't looking for those that were the biggest amount of meat, but they were looking for those that were weak. They were looking for those that were sick. They were looking for those that kind of held back from the rest of the group. They were looking for those that would dart off to themselves and get all isolated from everyone else. And then you would see them surrounding them, and you knew they were an easy prey. They couldn't defend themselves. Why? Because they had gotten themselves in a place of being weak. They got themselves in a place of being isolated. That's what the enemy comes against you every day. He comes to you and says, you know what? You might as well just quit going to church. It isn't doing any good. Or you know what? It ain't going to hurt to miss every once in a while and go do these other things. Or, boy, I feel a little bit tired tonight. I don't think I'll be in the house of God. He tries to get you to quit reading your Bible. He tries to get you out of the prayer service. He tries to get you to think of everything else at this altar than the things of God. He's attacking you. He's checking you. He's trying to get you weak. Why? So that He can pull you off to the side. So that He can make you an easy prey and defeat you and bring destruction to your life. He wants to destroy you if someone would come. And the last thing we need to know is that we need to stand out. Stand out. Oh, we need, you know what? The world's looking for someone who will stand out for Jesus Christ. And they're going to notice. Let me give you an example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a big crowd. They were all alone. They didn't want to bow before that idol. Nebuchadnezzar had built an idol of himself. He's going to play music. And when he did, he had one command. You need to bow to that idol. But they said, no, we cannot bow. We're going to stand. We're going to stand. We can't do it, for we serve a God. We serve a God. This is not who we serve. We're not going to bow. They weren't trying to stand out, but they did stand out. Everybody, hundreds and even maybe thousands of people, fell to the idols. And we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood at allegiance and said, our God is Jesus Christ. We will not bow. And He brought them over to Him and said, don't you understand? Try to make them compromise. Isn't that the way the enemy does? Don't you understand what's getting ready to happen to you? All you got to do is bow. You could say you're bowing to your God. He didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. That's the way the enemy, you can just pretend your allegiance really isn't with the things of this world, but you can go through the motions. And the temptation was probably there, and the enemy was pressuring them, oh, we'll make them bow. And he says, if you don't bow, I'm going to make it 7 times hotter. You're going to suffer immensely because you're going to stand for Christ. Do you really want to go through what you're getting ready to go through? Are you really going to stand? Is it worth it? They played the music again, and what happened? They stood. They stood out. All the eyes were upon them. Boy, they're going to get what's coming to them. Boy, we kneeled. They had probably friends that knew they shouldn't bow that bowed their knee. And yet we see that these three Hebrew children, they stood and all everyone else expected to see them to die in that heated fire. Hot, so hot that soldiers that were throwing them in, just the heat from outside of the fire killed them. Couldn't even hang on. Couldn't live just by getting close to it. And they threw them in. And what do we see? Hallelujah. You know what? When we're going through the battle and we stand for Christ, you'll find out you're not standing alone anymore. You'll find out that Jesus Christ will be in the fire with you. He says, I wanted just you to show me that you're going to stand for me. And now I'm going to show you great and mighty things. It says that they didn't even have the smell of fire on them. The ropes fell at their sides. They were in great victory. And they said, did we not throw three in this fire? There's a fourth in there. And the king was able to say, it looks like the Son of God in the fire with him. We can stand. We can stand. God's looking for people in this generation who'll say, I'm not going to bow my knee to the enemy. When he comes in like a flood, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to stand up for the things of God. I want to stand up and let people know that my heart is given to him. I'm going to look different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to think different. I'm going to go to different places. Oh, but people, when they see that you will stand for what's right, when they're going through it, you're the first one they call. Oh, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? They don't want that person that was compromising their life next to them all week to be the one that prays for them, but they want to find that person who stood for right. They want to get that person that they know stood on the Word of God and has got something different, and they're going to come to you and say, pray for me. I see something different in your life. I see something different in your life. If you could, stand. I actually mean it this time. Stand. Hallelujah. Almighty God, Lord, you want us, God, to stand on your word. You want us, God, to stand, Lord, together. You want us to stand up. You want us to stand out. You want us to stand in victory, Almighty God. And Lord, we need in this last hour, Lord, to realize the battle that we're in, Lord, is not going to be won except by those who stand and having done all to stand. And it's only through you that we can do that, Lord. You are our help. You are our full armor that we put on. And Lord, when we put you on, we will never, ever fail. Hallelujah. Oh God, reach into the hearts and lives of men and women this morning, God. Lord, that we quit living status quo. That God, we quit playing around with you. And God, starting with me, God, be steadfast. Be strong in the power of God. Oh Lord, let your spirit move this morning. Deal with hearts and lives. Deal with hearts and lives. If you bow your head, just keep standing and keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you are in this place and you say, you know what, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know your condition. I don't know if everyone in here is saved. But if you're not, God's dealing with your heart. You can know that power. You can know that salvation. You can know that power of living and letting him cleanse you and giving you his righteousness. And you can know the strength of how to overcome. Is that you? Is he dealing with your heart and life? Is he dealing with you? Is anyone in here want to say by the uplifting of a hand, pray for me. Pray for me. That's me. I know the Lord's dealing with me. I want him to do something in my life. I don't know the Lord, but I want to know him. Is that anybody? If you would, raise your hand. Everyone else with their eyes closed. If that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Oh, God wants to do a mighty. Don't walk out of this place. Don't walk out of this place without knowing him, giving him this opportunity. Don't go out and say, well, it'll be the same next week. You never know. The enemy's waiting. The enemy wants to destroy your life. The only help we've got is through the whole armor of God. Is that you? Just another few seconds. If that's you, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Okay. The rest of us, are you willing to say, I need more? I need to put on that whole armor. I know that there's some areas that I could let God work in, and I know I don't want to give anything to the enemy. I don't want to walk in defeat. I know that there's some areas that God could have more of me. I want him to give victory in my life. I want him to use me. I want to be someone who stands out for Christ because of the life I live and willing to submit myself. Is that you this morning? If that's you, if you are wanting the Lord to have full control of everything in your life, find this place in this altar. These old altars are open. Come and find a place to pray. Seek God and let him have his way in your life. Hallelujah. Let's come. Hallelujah. Praise you, God.